Welcome back. You're in the know, KWNO, AM 1230, FM 98.7. Thanks for being with us here on the program on this Monday morning. It is March 2nd, 2026. Gene Pawlowski joining us on the line, as he does every Monday here during the legislative session. Pawlowski ponders politics, as we do with Gene. Gene, how are you? Good morning.
Good morning, Jason. I'm doing fine, and it looks like it's going to be sunny and relatively warm.
We are going to get warmer and warmer as the week moves along, which is great news for you and I. I think you and I are often on the same page with weather. We want to definitely see it get warmer. Are you still getting out on the links and golfing quite a bit as the warm weather comes? Will you get out there?
I will, and 50 degrees is where I begin to play. When it gets below 50 and you miss hit a shot, there's a little sting to it.
Yeah, that's true. That is very true as well. I haven't golfed in years, and I really want to try to get out this year. I need to. I don't have a set of clubs anymore, and I'm a left-handed golfer, so I want to try to get, a used set of clubs or a cheap set of clubs and get out there again, because I haven't been out in several years. So I'm hoping to maybe do that this spring and summer. So we'll have to see if that happens. But let's get into this a little bit, Gene, because we have some, I guess we could call it, kind of shifting things happening up at the legislature. So Governor Walz, lawmakers were talking about legislative proposals with a $3.7 billion surplus the next 2 years, and then that smaller surplus expected in 2028-29, and then the bonding bill as well. Now, Governor Walz says that the bonding bill is a top priority for him. Can you just kind of break it down? I know we've talked about this before, but the bonding bill, what exactly that is, what exactly that means, and this is something that's usually pretty bipartisan, correct?
Well, it has to be. In the House, you need 81 votes to pass it. This is a supermajority item, so it takes usually 68 votes to pass a bill of the 134, but this one takes 81 because it's long-term investment. Secondly, usually this is the bonding year or the capital investment year, and these are projects. So these are projects all around the state. The classic examples would be roads and bridges, but in a community like ours, we have a number of things that could be bonded for. We have Winona State. We've got, Southeast Tech. They would also have projects in it. We have our harbor, and there would be projects for that. For instance, the road leading to the harbor was a bonding project. I carried the legislation for that to redo that road. So these projects come up all across the state. It will be interesting to see in a divided legislature if the House can come up with 81 votes.
So how does that work as far as, so the folks representing us up in St. Paul with the bonding money, are they then lobbying for the projects that they want for their district or for their area? And then the bonding bill money is then parceled out in that way? Is that the way that works?
It works that way, but the bonding committees will go out and visit the entire areas of the state. We've had the House and Senate already down here looking at projects. Winona State has the big so-called Cecil project, which is a $78 million project. The city, of course, is still looking at what are you going to do with the fire police station, and funds could be allocated for that. That's been done on a number of different issues. So the projects are almost everywhere. And in fact, there's vastly more projects than we would have the capacity to fund this session. If you're looking at a bonding bill of, let's say, $1 billion, there's probably $8 billion in requests.
What is the criteria usually that the bonding committees go by, or is it kind of a shifting criteria as far as who gets money and what projects get funded?
The projects that get funded can only come to either county, city, colleges. It would have to be a statewide agency that would get the funds. So it's a rather narrow amount of criteria. However, there have been exceptions, and now you've heard Walz actually say that he's going to clamp down on the exceptions because he's afraid, again, of the fraud. And one of the exceptions has been these so-called nonprofit foundations that have crept up, and we've seen funding for those. He's already said he wants to eliminate that from the criteria, and I agree with him. There should be no funding for a non-profit foundation. These things literally have been created just to get bonding money. And it was a point where the more experienced legislators that were there were telling the bonding committee not to do this. This wasn't the way we were going to do bonds, and it shouldn't be the way we do it in the future.
So then doesn't that hurt nonprofits that are not doing anything nefarious?
Technically, no nonprofit should get bonding money.
Okay.
It's a twist in the definition of where that funding should go.
Okay.
Traditionally, the interpretation has been very tight. You literally have to be a government-created entity in order to get bonding money.
Okay.
And a nonprofit is not. So it was a twist that I think got out of hand, and hopefully they'll listen to Walz, but already you have members, one senator, one DFL senator in particular, who was very adamant that Walz is wrong and that they should do it. Now, remember, when you're looking at a supermajority in both bodies, you need to get votes, and that's difficult to do.
Yeah, absolutely. The budget forecast, Gene, I think so. There's the next 2 years. We have the $3.7 billion surplus and then a smaller surplus in 28, 29. How does that affect the back and forth between the DFL and the Republicans? The surplus, I think, for 28, 29 is projected to be about $377 million. But Democrats say they're concerned because federal cuts could wipe that away. Can you break down the way that that's the way that all that is looking?
Yeah, and that's an interesting dynamic, because if you use cash in a bonding or capital request, it doesn't take a supermajority. It only takes 68 votes. So if you're looking at hundreds of millions, or let's say the $3.7 billion, that could be used for capital projects, but it would be one-time money. It would only take 68 votes, and that has happened in the past. But again, even in the House, you're at 67-67. So right. Even to get to 68 could be a hurdle.
Right. Yep. Okay. So you mentioned fraud, as it relates to the bonding money and nonprofits and things like that. And fraud is something we've heard, you know, just so much about here. Is there a simple or concise way to start dealing with fraud right now in this session? You know, maybe that's something that we kind of lay the groundwork for, and then there needs to be some further discussion about this or further safeguards put in place. But I guess, first of all, from your experience, you know, almost four decades you spent up at the legislature, how big of a problem is fraud? And is fraud something that has gotten increasingly worse over the decades? Did you see that get worse when you were in office?
The issue of fraud means you have to have legislative oversight. Mm-hmm. And legislative oversight means you don't deal with passing bills. You deal with understanding the budgets. And there's two ways to do that. The first is to have very detailed hearings in the beginning so that you understand the needs that are out there that qualify for this funding. And then once you pass those pieces of legislation, you review them. Mm-hmm. The legislature over the last few years has just been drunk on introducing bills. Mm-hmm. And they hit a record in the last legislative session of 5,500. They're well on the way to getting to that record now. And the issue is, do you just want to hear bills, or do you want to understand what the bills are going for and what you've done? And that means you have to have detailed hearings. It takes a lot of work, and you just don't get to pass the bills or even hear the bills.
So if we had lawmakers who were paying attention more to the budget or just were more knowledgeable about how budgets work, you think that would go a long way to reducing fraud?
Yeah, absolutely it would. You'd catch it before you even would pass it in a lot of instances if you understood the budgets in advance. And secondly, you would be telling the legislators, just don't come up here and be a drunken bill machine. Get off the curse of the introducing bills and get into the work of understanding what you're going to do before you even pass the bills, and then review it.
Right.
And the reviewing it should also be part of this year. And now, in a way, it is, because it's such a tightly a split legislature that they can do some of it. They could do a lot more of it.
Do you think part of it, Gene, and maybe this is an oversimplification, but, you know, when you think about digging into budgets, really digging down on the numbers and finding out what exactly is happening in a budget, how it's going to play out, that can be kind of boring work, right? It can be monotonous. It's very detail-oriented. Do you think that there are some lawmakers that just really don't want to do that? They don't want to dig down and kind of do that hard and somewhat boring work. They just want to introduce bills, and they just want to get up there and speak, and they want to get their faces and voices out there. Is that maybe part of that dynamic as well, why that work doesn't get done like it should?
Yeah, that's exactly part of it. But once you begin to understand budgets, it does become fun. I did it in my committee. I would hear nothing but budgets for months at a time, and then finally, once we had a good understanding of it, and my slogan always was at the beginning of the session, we're going to grab them by the budgets, and we're not going to let go. And the agencies hated it, but that's exactly why you do it,
right?
Because you want to understand these budgets. And it's fascinating, the dynamics, once the members begin to understand how to probe into a budget and understand what the requests were. Because the fraud can come literally from within these agencies, too, where they're making outrageous requests for funding. And they really don't need it, but they're just like members. You know, they always want more.
Right. And they would maybe not make those outrageous requests if they sort of understood more the details of the budget, right? They would have more realistic expectations.
Exactly. And that's the other problem. Everybody thinks, well, I'm going to make a request that's so far out there that I'll at least get something. And you go, no, that's not how it should work. Mm. The need should be out there first, not just getting something.
Right. Yeah. Interesting. Okay. What are you looking forward to this week, Gene? Is there anything that you're keeping an eye on that might happen this week up in St. Paul?
I'm fascinated by how everything, particularly in the House, is dying on a partisan vote. It's usually an evenly split partisan vote. So the Republicans might be offering something in committee on fraud. That'll die on an even vote. The Democrats are proposing something that deals with, frankly, a variety of issues. Last week, it was a number of gun issues. All of those issues died on a tied vote. It'll be interesting to see when they're going to get to the time of compromise and actually passing something. Because right now, it's just bring up the left or the far right, and we'll just kill it, one side or the other.
And that's more pronounced, I would imagine, because we're in an election year with some of that kind of partisan back and forth.
Well, it is. But remember, in the House, you've got a Republican chair and a Democratic chair of each committee.
Sure.
So literally you're going 180 from one committee hearing to another. All the committees but one have an even number of House Democrats and House Republicans. So should anything even get to the floor, again, it's 67-67.
Right.
So at some point, they're going to have to say, what do we need to get done? Not what we want to get done, what do we need to get done? And then we're going to have to compromise.
All right, Gene, we'll leave it there. We're out of time. Good stuff as always. You have a fabulous week, my friend, and we will talk to you next Monday.
Thank you, Jason.